Jenny Plunkett, principal of St Benedict's and St Mary's National School in Kilbarrick. She's going to tell us all about how pupils have had access to continue their education during lockdown and also about First Communion and confirmation ceremonies for this term. Good afternoon, Jenny, and thanks for joining us.
No problem, Tony, really.
First of all, Jennifer, tell us briefly about the history of the school, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we're a large building in the centre of Kilbarrick in 2005. Used to be the largest senior school in the whole of Ireland, I believe, at one point. However, we've only 140 pupils left now in this massive building. It's a disadvantaged school in the heart of Kilbarrick. We've 7 classes and 12 teachers. So it's a great little school, it's a fabulous little community, and I miss the children all so much at this point.
Yes, I'd say so. Yeah. Is it a mixed school for boys and girls, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So the children start between the ages of 4 and 5, and we go all the way up to 12 years of age. And it's a co-ed school, yeah, it's mixed. And we also have a small preschool in the school, so we take children in from 2.5 there too, and they're very much part of the school community. So all in all, with the preschool and the school, there's probably about 170 children.
Oh, okay. And is there a mandatory school uniform?
There is, yeah. We have, mostly the children wear the school tracksuit, which is grey, and they have a yellow and green t-shirt underneath. They can also wear the school uniform, which is green and grey.
Oh, okay. And what's the average number of pupils in each class?
Because we're in a designated disadvantaged school, the most we should take is 24. So we'd say half of the classes have 24, and then if they're not 24, they're just less than that. So the smaller ones is probably 16. So they get a lot of attention and a lot of love in our school.
Oh, yes, of course, I'm sure. And in some cases, would you have, say, you know, 2 fourth or fifth classes?
We don't, Johnny. We're in an area where it's a very aged area, so the number is decreased in the school. And we actually have the opposite. We have multi-grade classes where there are children from, say, a third class and a fourth class in the one room. And we had a number of those classes through the last 20 decades, but they're slowly now fading away again. The enrollment is increasing. It wouldn't be anywhere near what we thought, but it is increasing.
All right, okay. So Jenny, tell us about the amenities available in the school.
Yeah, we have a number of different specialised rooms and areas in the school. It's a very large old building with huge overheads, but we try our best to come up with ideas to keep the place looking fantastic. We were involved in 2 projects with Different Saves. They're a charity that used volunteers from large corporate worlds to come in and make the school a better place. So we have a gorgeous outside beach themed playground in one of the gardens in the school, and in the other one we have a large vegetable garden and a sensory garden. And we also have a room in the school called the Wiggle Room. So we would have, out of the 140 thereabouts primary school children, we have 56 children with special needs, and a lot of those children would access support from occupational therapy. So one of the therapists suggested that we get a mini trampoline and an exercise ball and different kinds of equipment to use with the children in this space. So as we have so many rooms available, we set up a designated wiggle room, we call it, and it's for children who would benefit from the use of this OT equipment. So they would have slots with their resource teachers or their SNAs to go down and at a point during the day to complete an exercise regime tailored to their needs. It's a fantastic resource, and children on the autistic spectrum love it as well. There's like a dark tent and there's sensory equipment in there too.
Okay, and you also have an after school club, don't you?
We have an after school club. It's not on site in our school, but it's connected next door down where the Clear Adult Education Centre is in Kilbarrick. Kilbarrick Community Project. There's another support available to our schools because we're a deaf school from the school completion programme. So they employ people inside the school and in the after school project to work closely with our children at risk of leaving school early.
Oh, very nice. And in 2010, the school received 2 awards. Tell us more about it.
So, yeah, we have 5 green flags in total for that. The children's and the whole school community's attempt to help the environment and to really look at our use of, electricity, water, waste in the school, and really try and encourage, awareness of this and cut back in this however best we can. And then also the active skills flag is for, to increase the children's activities that would have been linked in with, data from obesity in Ireland in children. So it's just getting the whole school up and moving. This year we would have had daily walk a mile with a smile, and we've had dance-a-thons, different things done in the school.
Very good. Excellent. Congratulations to all of you. Yes. Jenny, tell us about the DEIS initiative, like there's a free lunch scheme and some other issues.
Yeah, so a number of schools in areas of disadvantage around the country receive DESH status, so that's the DEIS status. It's an extra support to the school in a number of forms. So financially, we would receive another income through the year to spend on encouraging the children to be in school. So that could be on attendance rewards, retention programs. We could invite in, you know, specialists in different areas. Like we had a frisbee instructor in last year. You know, over the years, they would have done things like horse riding, you know, dance. All different activities or different ideas to try and keep the children in school and keep them encouraged to come to school. So it's a fantastic initiative to be involved in. Another layer of that support is the homeschool liaison teacher. So it's an allocated teacher to a post that works specifically with the parents of the children in the school. Sometimes people think homeschool, it's the person goes out and teaches the person in the home, but it's actually they work alongside the parents, encouraging them to be positive about their child's education, breaking down barriers. A lot of parents traditionally would have had a bad experience of school and would be nervous of coming into the school if there was an issue, or you know, there could have been issues around that kind of area. So this scheme was established, I think it began in Talla. I was a homeschooled teacher myself for a number of years. Just calling out to the homes, it's bringing parents into the schools for initiatives like, I'm sure you've heard of them before, like Maths for Fun and Reading for Fun. They come into the class, play maths games with small groups of children under the teacher's guidance and under the homeschooled guidance. And the children absolutely adore their parents being in the schools. And it just really like encourages that positivity around that education is a good thing. Their parents, you know, who they look up to, you know, if their parents is happy coming into the school, you know, it's not a threatening place, it's a nice place. And then the school meals is a separate thing, but most DESH schools would qualify for that too. So you apply for funding for that, and then the children, it's lovely compared to what it was years ago. They have a menu now that they can pick their morning snack and their lunch from. So children, you know, are provided with nutritious food all day long, which is lovely as well.
Sounds great, yeah. Jenny, what kind of sports are available at the school?
We have a girls Gaelic team and we have a boys Gaelic team. We have a mixed soccer team. We're doing swimming every second year now because the uptake on that kind of fell aside because another local body was running swimming lessons as well. And then outside of that, through the year, we would have different activities in. Like we had dance instructors in for about an 8-week block. We've had cricket. We were involved in a rugby tournament last year. And then Santry Athletics as well, that's a big one. They come in a bunch, school athletics and Santry every year. We would have, you know, a small number of children representing our school because we're so small.
That's excellent. And for anyone who wants to enrol their child, I believe it seems that there is an enrolment form on your website?
There are, yeah. If you go on to stbenedictsandstmarys.com, there is an online application form.
Excellent. And is there a large demand, a waiting list, by the way?
No, we're kind of filling. Because we're a DESH school, the most we can take is 24, and we're reaching that every year. So there or thereabouts, could be 22, could be 24. Sometimes it's a little bit over, but there's not a waiting list, not yet. Maybe
right.
One day.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing, really. Inquiry-based learning. Jenny, what's that all about?
So it's kind of taking the learning ideas from the children, what they're interested in, taking their lead from it, and I suppose not giving them the answers, letting them come about it themselves. So the teachers now would like pose the question and, you know, set the idea in motion, and the children then have to come up with how they're going to inquire, finding the answers out with this. So it's very hands-on learning, active learning, outside, inside, using different bits of equipment. You know, it's a move away from the textbook and the teacher wants to know all the knowledge up at the board. It's kind of letting the children take the lead and come up with the answers, and then obviously like testing them to see if they're true or not.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But it's a great initiative, seriously. And on your website, yeah, there are various tips for parents in relation to homework and so on. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, so again, like this can be a huge bone of contention, I'm sure it feels. And it's kind of helping the parents out, you know, that it's not this, you know, mundane task that has to be done every day. It's to just give them little tips, you know, of reading to them and sitting, taking a space, a clear space in their home, you know, not to be, and if there's any issues with it, to contact us, you know, to see if there's anything that can be done there, because the last thing you want after a long day in school is just be another battle at home over homework.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And in what way have the pupils been able to access and continue their education during lockdown? Were there videos or stuff on the internet, or was it through email?
I suppose, like, it has been very difficult at the beginning. We learned in the school the same as the public that we were closing, so there wasn't a huge amount of time to get everything ready. Initially, we were told it was 2 weeks, so the children were sent home with a kind of hands-on pack, not really online material. Then, obviously, it extended the whole time off school, so we had to review that as a staff. So we had a platform available to us in the school called Aladdin, which is an online platform to disperse kind of information, but we didn't have a set up two-way communication other than the school email was there, so it wasn't really appropriate. Like, so over the Easter break, the staff kind of looked up different apps that would be appropriate for our school, and given that there's not, you know, there'd be a larger number of families, there's not like a lot of devices to hand. And then even confidence-wise, you know, there wouldn't be huge confidence in every house around using the technology. So we came up with the best app that we could find, Class Dojo, so the teachers could share, you know, videos or chat to the children through this app, and then the children could write back, or the parents could write back and send back videos or photographs. So we found that was the most beneficial to our school. Other schools are using Feel Good Classroom and, you know, more kind of live lessons. We sent out a survey at the start of ours, and it came back that, you know, some families didn't have accessibility to devices to do that, so we found this was the best for our school, and we've kind of reviewed it ongoing, and it seems to be, it has worked out well. The parents have been happy, the kids have been happy, so that's all you can ask for.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And what's the position regarding First Communion and confirmation ceremonies for this term? Like, obviously we all know they're postponed, but any news on it yet?
I had a phone call from the priest about a month ago, and he was very eager as well, you know, to, as soon as we can, to have them done, because it's such a thing that the children look forward to, and the families and the community. It's a lovely celebration. The priests in our school were cocooning themselves, so obviously that has to be taken into consideration, but he did tell me that as soon as it was possible, they will be done, and, you know, we will make them as special as we can. Our second class children will be gone into third class, I'd imagine, by the time it happens, if it doesn't happen in August maybe. And so we will still very much be there with them, but the sixth class children will have moved on to post-primary. But I'm hoping as a school we can still support them, you know, take them in and put them at ease. They had a lot of preparation done anyway, but it's just about giving them their day, like, and being there as their school for the last 8 years to just celebrate their special day with them. So I don't have any word as to when it's on, but they will happen.
Okay. And for those in sixth class, like moving on to secondary level, will there be some form of, you know, now that we have an ease on restrictions, a kind of a reunion before transition? Would that be possible?
We have, as a school, we have a little plan to do their graduation, and I know some of them may be listening, so I don't want to go into it too much. It's a bit of a surprise. But it's not really a reunion as such, because this is planned before the lifting of restrictions. But as I said before, there's another layer in the deaf school of support through the skill completion programme. So they're very eager to have support in place for these children through the summer. So we're looking at kind of maybe possibly having small groups of children into the school or outside of the school in the yard to begin with. You know, to just have a chat with them, you know, see how they're feeling, and then take it from there and increase it weekly. You know, it could be only once a week, but it's some way of bringing some of them back together, chat to them and get them somewhat prepared for going to secondary school. And then I suppose as a larger group, I'm not really sure yet, like, what that might look like.
Okay, right. We're going to leave it at that, Jenny, and thanks again for joining us. Best to you. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you, Jenny. Care.
Thank you. Now, that was Jenny Plunkett, Principal of St. Benedict's St. Mary's National School, talking about access to education during lockdown, and also all about the school itself.